Thank you, Richard. I just hope my mom saw that introduction. That was probably the sweetest introduction I think I've ever had. And I would love for you to come do it again. But thank you for those kind words, and thank you for your prayer. And I appreciate you as a church and the way that you've been with my brother for 30 years and how he's had the opportunity to speak into your life and as you have been able to speak into his. And so thank you for the opportunity to come and speak with you today. I was thinking, and I did prepare, by the way. I was just making you nervous, along with my wife. I know. There's three different kind of days that we have. We have great days, and we have terrible days, and we have uneventful days. And if you're not having a great day, the uneventful days are really a blessing. I think I've come to really enjoy uneventful days more so in my life in the latter part of my years, because there is such struggle and conflict and so much turmoil and drama that this world has put upon us and we have put upon ourselves. Fear not. I really believe that the Lord, Jesus doesn't keep us from having terrible days. But there's a difference having Jesus Christ in the midst of a terrible day. And when we look at Matthew chapter 14, we are reminded of an incredible story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and maybe 10 to 12,000 people really that day with five fish and two loaves. It becomes an incredible day because, an eventful day, because we see that in the lives of the disciples, they are learning a lot through Jesus' teaching. But we read this incredible account and we recognize that Jesus feeds them all, and your terrible day doesn't always start good. Your terrible day doesn't always have to begin the day, but it could be a great day, but end up in a terrible day. I'm going to share with you some things of what we do and how we go through different storms and different days of our lives. And as we look at this, I want to take you to Matthew 14, verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, and I'll give you a moment, he withdrew in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. In verse 14, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now, I want you to understand, he went to this desolate place because over in verses 11 and 12, it tells us why he's there, because he has just received news of John the Baptist's beheading, and so he is going off to be alone to pray. And so as he's going to this desolate place to pray and intercede, we also understand that the crowds were following him and began to follow him to this desolate place. And now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away and go to the village and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only five loaves here and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the five loaves and two fish, he looked up into heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate were satisfied. And they took up the 12 baskets full and broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And that's why we say that's only 5,000 men. But we know that there was probably women and children. So that's why we can probably say that there was more. And maybe 10,000 to 12,000 people. Who knows? It's not ministerially counting. But this is actually an account where he feeds and the disciples watch this. What a great day for the disciples. What a great day to be able to walk and see what was going on and see how Jesus was meeting needs. And sometimes I think the disciples missed the very act of what Jesus was doing, but maybe caught it on later. I think that's what happens in our life. We don't really recognize what Jesus is doing in our heart, in our life, yet we're only looking at the temporary. We don't really see the big picture often, and yet he wants us to see the big picture. He wants us to understand what he comes to do for you and I. He wants to come and refine us. He wants to refine us because he wants to do a good work in us. And if we will allow him to do a work, that means we will struggle all the days of our life. The book of James tells us that. He says, I will work in you until I perfect a good work. And that might mean that we won't have great days all the days of our life. But yet there will be difficult days. Days that were hard to encounter. Storms. No one likes a storm. No one really delights in that except for the weather people. Except get that wrong and still have a job. That's beyond me, but that's for another sermon for another day. But most of us don't like storms in our lives. I know Mike and I growing up in New Orleans, we knew when a hurricane was coming because the store was out of batteries and water and plywood. So it was kind of a. But you prepared for it somewhat. But there are some storms you can't prepare for. Some of those storms you just have to walk through it and just trust in the Lord and to be able to get through it. And those storms are the ones that refine you and make you who you are today. And some of us say, Lord, I don't need any more refining. I don't need any more character in my life. But nonetheless. There's a couple of different storms we see. But in Matthew 14, 22, I want you to take a look at that real quick. Matthew 14, 22. I want you to see that, notice that there are interesting words that Jesus tells him to the disciples. he says immediately he made the disciples get in the boat. And I thought that was very interesting. You're making fishermen to get in a boat. But he immediately made the disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And I want you to see that he wanted them, he made them get into the boat. Jesus knew what was fixing to happen. And I want you to understand that there are four comforting things for you to understand the next time you go through a terrible day. Because the first one here is that we see that it doesn't surprise Jesus when you have a terrible day. Doesn't surprise him what was fixing to happen to the disciples. Man, they had a euphoric day. They got to see a lot of people fed with five fish and two loaves, and then get their fill, and then bring up more baskets full, leftovers. What an incredible day. I imagine they were just basking in that day and thinking, wow, what a great day we're having. It can't get any better than this. This is what we look for. This is kind of why we followed you, Jesus. It's because we're having such an awesome day. And then Jesus says, get in the boat immediately, and I want you to go off and across the lake. Now, Jesus knows what's fixing to happen. He knows it's going to become one of the worst days of their lives that they've had up until this point, probably. He knew what the storm was going to do. They had no clue. They had no idea. But this is what ought to comfort you, and it comforts me to know, in the midst of your terrible day, Jesus intercedes for you on your behalf. Jesus will intercede. He will intercede for your behalf. He goes off. He sends them off. And what does he go into the mountains? We know what he's going for. He's going to intercede for the disciples. He knows what's fixing to happen. They were only supposed to go just a little offshore. It says about 1/8 of a mile. It wasn't a long journey, but the next 12 hours became a nightmare. The next 12 hours became very difficult, a day that they would soon rather forget, but they were terrified. It was a day none other than in their lives up to this point, because Jesus knew what was going to take place, but he intercedes. He intercedes for you. He knows. He's not surprised when your day is going to be bad. He knows when you're going to have a terrible day. He knows when the storms are going to come in your life. And there are three types of storms. There's a storm of correction. The storm of correction comes in your life to correct you, to refine you. It's to show you. It's when you're in your Christian life and you think everything's going good and I'm good and the world is good, and yet he says it's not good because I still want to do a work in you. And you say, Lord, I've gone through all those and I probably don't need that. And that's when he comes. That storm comes in your life to shape in you and to mold you and to for you to understand a little bit more about Jesus' love, his love for you. And we look at that storm and say, oh no, here comes another one. I mean, that's what I do. I don't want any more storms in my life. They're horrible. They're gut-wrenching, some of them. There's some that I just rather not even, I want it to be smooth all the time. I want it to be a good day or an uneventful day, but I don't want a terrible day. And here comes that storm of correction. The storm of correction comes on your life, and then you begin to really sit and pay attention and begin focus on God. So what do you do during a storm? That's what you become. You become focused on that storm. You become focused on the moment in which you're in. Nothing else is distracting you at that moment. There are times when I have storms in my life that I'm literally paralyzed. I can't think. I can't do ministry. I can't do nothing. I can't even interact. I don't want to be with anybody. I want to be by myself because these are pretty bad storms. We get those storms. None of us are get to escape those storms. Every one of us will have horrible storms that will come in your life. And sometimes we often look, what have I done? It's not what you've done. It's what he's going to do. It's so that you can see him in the midst. Then there's a storm of perfection. They're the kind of storms that build character. They deepen your faith. They make you more sensitive to others. These are storms that come into your life so that it will teach you. From a biblical perspective, the storms are good things. Jesus wrote that we should consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. And then there's the storms of preparation. These storms that are used by God to prepare us to influence others when we have gone and walked through those storms. You know, there's some storms that come in our lives that really just, they're very difficult to get through. But there are some assurance that we have. The first one I said was, and I want you to write this down, but the first one is, your day is not a surprise to Jesus, your terrible day. The second one is, Jesus is going before you to intercede on your behalf. He intercedes before you for your behalf. You know, that's the second one, and I'll get to the third one. But there's a great illustration. And I'm not a golfer. I think golf is the Satan's game, really. It's probably because I'm not good at it, but I think it's evil. But back when the game was created or invented, I guess the golf ball was a smooth ball. It was smooth because that's the way they thought it ought to be. Perfect. And what they realized as the game began to progress, that they noticed that the balls that got scuffed up and dimpled up and seemed to fly further and truer. Interesting. They became a better golf ball, to help you with your game of golf. And so when they found that out, they began to scuff up the golf balls. They began to rough them up so that they would fly truer. And maybe that's why we have storms, so God can dimple our lives, that we can fly a little bit truer and a little bit further. We think life would be better if it was smooth all the time, but I'm here to tell you that's not the case. God gives us storms because we need storms in our life. We need them so that we can help others, so that we can be more sensitive to what God's trying to do in our life. God's not surprised by your terrible day. And then we look on, and then we begin to read the script, continue with 23. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long, long way from land, beaten by the waves from the wind against them. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked over to the water, and came to Jesus. And I want to stop there because I want us to continue on, because it's comforting to know that Jesus is always interceding for your behalf. And I think for me to know that is I recognize that he lived for me, he died for me, and he prays for me. I don't know what that does for you, but what that does for me is gives me great comfort to knowing that a God who lived for me, who died for me, would pray for me. I mean, for me, that brings great comfort in through a trial and through a storm or through a terrible day that you're having, a difficult time. And there are different kinds of storms that come that we talked about. And there are different kinds of storms in your life, whether it be with your children or with loved ones, family, circumstances that are around you. There are difficult storms to walk through those. But he lived for me, died for me, and prays for me. Jesus was always interceding for us. And you know what he's interceding for? He's interceding that our faith would not fail. He was praying for that we wouldn't give up. He's praying that use these experiences to help others. I mean, we know this because in Luke 22 it says, and in 31, we gain a little insight to this. Because he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you whence once you have turned against may strengthen your brother." So we know what he does when he intercedes for us. He's interceding for you to push through your circumstances, your trial, your storm, your terrible day. And in the midst of a terrible day, what we see is we begin to see God at work. Every time you have a terrible day, it may not come in the time frame in which you'd like it to end. But there are times when you're going through a difficult and going through storms, you cry out to God. You literally cry out to God, "God, you got to take this off of me. I can't function anymore. You've got to remove this." I mean, there are times when you plead with God. "God, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? I can't endure another day of this. I can't concentrate on anything else." And he says, "In my time, I will come." And what's interesting to me is, and we look at Peter, and a lot of us, we do. We look at Peter and go, you know, Peter's always putting his foot in his mouth. I mean, we've heard stories of Peter and accounts of Peter. But to this day, you know, Peter does something remarkable to me. And as I'm looking at this story, I really sense that Peter is watching for Jesus to come. And that's our third comfort. As Jesus comes to you in the midst of your terrible day. This is a horrible storm. They've been on the lake since they were boys. They knew the lake pretty well. They knew that this wasn't a hard trip. This was an easy trip. This wasn't very difficult. But they knew that the circumstances of the wind kept pushing them further and pushing them further. And they became terrified because it was out of their control. It was out of their hands. It was nothing that they had seen before. I think that's what we do when we encounter various days that are terrible in our lives or storms that come in our lives. We encounter those. We encounter the just the unknown part of it. "I've never been in this storm, Lord. What do I do? What do I do?" I'm telling you, there are paralyzing storms that they come in our lives. And we don't know what to do. But I'm telling you, it brings great comfort to know that he's going to show up. Because Peter sees him, and the rest of them are terrified. They're saying he's a ghost. Peter, I think, was watching and waiting. "When are you coming?" And he comes. He always comes. Some of you are going through it right now. Some of you here this morning, you understand what I'm talking about. You're understanding what a terrible day looks like. You understand what a storm looks like. You understand the correction that comes in a storm. You understand the perfection of what it comes. You see it. You know it. You're living it. And some of you are living it right now. And you're saying, "If only I can get through that storm." But I'm here to tell you, you need to enjoy the storm, which is hard to do. Because that's the journey that Jesus Christ, that God has on your life for that particular moment, for this particular day. It isn't pleasant, but it's a storm nonetheless, because he is going to bring you through it, and you're going to depend on him, and you're going to focus on him like you've never focused on him before. Your prayer life will become a different prayer. You'll begin to begin to understand and begin to see. Because he always shows up in the midst of those terrible storms. And then, where's John? Where's the rest of the disciples? They are not even mentioned in this part of it. This is what's cool about it to me. You know, I imagine when Peter's like, "Hey, I see you. I know it's you, Jesus. Let me come on out to you." And we talk about him walking on the water. Well, he walks on the water. There's other than another man, a man like you and I walks on the water because Jesus says, well, come on, Peter, come. And Peter gets out of the boat. Now, we always look at, well, yeah, because of his faith. And I know the scripture says that. But at least he had the faith enough to come and to get out of the boat. Most of us are so terrified that we can't even move. We can't even call out to God. But in these moments in our lives, this is the true test. These are tests in our lives. How are we going to encounter what we're going to encounter and how we're going to get through those? You know, you got to understand that the Christian life's not all about amen, hallelujah, amen. It's not. I wish it was. I wish I could tell you that, but that'd be a lie. Man, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to walk in the Lord some days. Some days it's easy, but some days it's difficult. Some days the flesh wants to go do something else. It's hard. And it's not. It's not burdensome. I'm not trying to paint a doom and gloom picture here, folks. I'm just trying to tell you that you can be comforted and know that the Lord knows you're going through some difficulties in your life. He knows that you're going through those struggles. He knows that you're having terrible days. He knows that that's a storm in your life. He wants you to get through them, to walk through them. He wants to show you His great and mighty love. It's kind of awesome, difficult sometimes to see that, but that's what He comes to do. Matthew 14:24, but the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, from the wind, was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, it came to them. Fourth watch is probably around early in the morning, probably 3 to 6, I guess. I'm not a military person, but I think the fourth watch is around that time when the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were terrified and said, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter says, then call me. Let me come. And he comes. He's begun to push through that terrible day. That terrible day that they've had for 12 hours. Now, I wish that all terrible days lasted 12 hours. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? I can handle 12 hours. I'd go to sleep for 10 of them. But they're not. We don't know. But we know that what comes about is that he's coming to do a great work in us. Jesus wants to help you grow through your trials. He wants to help you. Peter said to him in verse 28, Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter jumps out of the boat, goes to him. Now, I really think at this moment when he sinks, I don't know how far he sinks. I don't know how far he walked. Really not important to me. What's important to me for me is that he got out. For me, He was trying to push through that terrifying night that they had, a terrifying day. What's important to me, because through my storm, as I'm reading this, and this these scriptures have helped me walk through some difficult storms, what helps me is to know that he's trying to press through. He's trying to push on. He's trying to see Jesus in the midst of this terrible day. And he's trying to see what's good that's coming. And what's good is coming is that he's fixing to understand what it looks like for him to walk all the days of his life with the Lord Savior. I think there's reasons why we go through storms. I think the majority of the time that we go through storms in our life, the first one is it's really about refining you and I. It's really about refining you and I when you're going through a storm. I want you to hear that because that's important. I really truly believe that he is trying to refine you and I. And sometimes when that storm is another person, but yet it's really about us refining who I am. He wants to take me a little bit deeper in his word, a little bit more of an understanding of who Jesus is. And the last thing that I will tell you brings great comfort. He will bring you peace. He will bring you peace. And it's a sweet peace, not like any other peace you've ever experienced. Some of you understand that. It's a sweet peace. Now, I don't know if Proverbs talks about sweet peace, but I'm just going to tell you, going through storms in my life, I understand what sweet peace is. It's almost like a sigh of relief, but even better. It's almost like when you breathe it in, you're breathing Jesus. I'm telling you, in the midst of a storm, and when they come, he will bring peace to you in the situation that you're in, and you will breathe sweet peace. And when you breathe it, you will understand what I'm talking about. If you breathed it already, you know. And if you haven't, one day you will, and you say, you know what? He was right. It is a sweet peace like none other that he comes to give you after you have walked through that storm and after you have encountered that storm. Now, there's reasons why we go through certain storms, and I've tried to cover that this morning with you. But I think one of the most important parts for me that when I've encountered this storm is what took place in my life after these incredible storms in my life. And that was, I really believe God began to teach me to say, Lord, Jeff, you need to start teaching others how to walk with others during storms. I think if you have not really paid attention to any part of it, if you would just, this is the part that you would concentrate on the most. Because to me, this is the most crucial, and it was the most crucial for me. You know, we as men really don't know how to walk with other men during a season of difficulties in their life. We really stink at it. We really do a poor job. We really don't know how to encourage one another. We really don't. We do a poor job. And I believe during these storms of people's lives, we need to, and maybe you have to go through a storm before you can understand it. I think most of us have already been through a storm. I think that every one of us understands what we're talking about this morning, because I think every one of us encountered that. I'm not just talking about a bad day, you had a fender bender or something like that. I'm talking about a tremendous storm that has come in your life. I mean, when I say terrible day, I mean a day that you go, my gosh, how can I ever get through this? But if you recall, on the day that you were having a terrible day, it became a good day. Because you begin to watch God at work. You look to the left, and he was working here. You looked over here, he was working over here in your life. He was working over here. He was working in your life during the storm. But you were so fixed on that storm, you really couldn't see it. But I really believe that we, as believers, ought to walk with others through difficult times in other people's lives. And it may just be for a season. And I'm going to share that with you. It's real easy. I know all of you know how to post things on Facebook. You do really a good job with that. I've been on that on occasion. And I've seen the way folks post things. They love to talk about what they're eating and where they're going and what they're doing. And you mean to tell me you don't know how to encourage somebody going through a difficulty and a trial in your life, which is more important? I'm not saying those things are wrong. You keep posting, do all you want, if that's you. But what I'm saying is that when you're having someone that's going through a tremendous struggle in their life and a tremendous a day that they're struggling with, an unbelievable storm, we're to walk through with them on that. I'm going to use Richard as an example since he prayed for me and since he told you I wasn't prepared. Now, here's Richard is going through and this is just pretend, okay, Richard? This is not, yeah. Richard's having a bad day. I mean, not just a normal day, but he's going through a big storm in his life. And it could be a sickness, it could be whatever. But what I do is when I find out about it, I call Richard. Richard, I understand you're having some struggles and difficulties. The first thing that I do is I pray for you. Richard, can I pray with you? I pray with him right over the phone. You know, your pastor does a great job with that. He's probably one of the best preachers and pastors that I know of that lives this part out. He's probably taught you how to do this. I'm probably just reminding you of these things because he does such a great job with it. I've never seen someone who will walk with another individual during a difficult time in their life than my brother. He will walk with you during that season of your life. And when you know he's struggling, some of you don't even recognize it. But he will walk with you to the ends of the earth. That's probably the best example I could give you. But let me just for just grins. So Richard's having a tough time. So Richard, I pray, Richard, let me just pray for you. I don't want to pray. You know, that's what most people, I'm fearful of that. I don't want to pray with you out loud. It's really quick. Richard, I know you're going through a struggle. I just want to pray for you today. May God's peace rest upon you today as you go. That's it. Hang up the phone. It doesn't stop there. And a lot of times we think it stops there. But it really just the beginning of helping Richard understand what it looks like that I'm going to help walk with him through that storm. Because maybe the next day I'm going to text him. Because I know you all know how to text. And I'm going to say, Richard, just thinking about you today. Just want you to know I care about you. That's it. I'm not going into a dissertation. I'm not looking through scripture. Now, there's occasion, maybe 2 days from now, after that, I may call him, I may text him again, or I may call him, or I may run into him. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I found this verse. It really meant a lot to me. Just want to share this words of wisdom that God has shown me, and I want to share that with you. Because most of the time, when we're going through a difficult time in our life, we just want somebody who will care for us. Really? We just want somebody that will care about us and about what we're going through. I'm telling you, when I was going through a storm, probably the greatest thing that people could do for me was act of kindness, was to be kind to me. I needed people to be kind to me as I was going through this storm. And as I was encountering this difficult day, I needed someone to do something for me. Not much, because any other day, they could have done something and I wouldn't even really recognize it. But during the difficult days of my life and the storms in my life, every little thing that people would do for me, it was huge. It was big. So I may do something for Richard. I may go by and help trim a tree. I remember one day I was going through a storm. I had a neighbor that helped me cut tree, you know, that I needed to do. He has no clue that I was going through a terrible storm. Even to this day, he doesn't know. But that act of kindness really helped me. And then I had people do some other things for me randomly that would just out of the blue, just made a world of difference. And then I had men that would walk alongside of me. Because we're only saying walk with them during a season of their life. I'm not saying every day I've got an encounter with Richard and I've got to talk to Richard every day of his life. But during that season of Richard's life, I'm going to check on him. I'm going to speak to him. I'm going to let him know that I care about him, and I'm going to help him walk through this detour that he's been on because of this storm. Is that real difficult? But in our busy world, what takes place? Our self-centeredness. We're so consumed about us and about our day that we really forget about the other person's day. And aren't we called, as Jesus has been the example, and isn't the example that my brother has given to this church, as he's walked with you through all circumstances of your life, he's walked with you. He has discipled you in that way. He has encouraged you in that way. Why wouldn't you in turn do the same? And some of you probably do. But for the most part, we really stink at that. And I'm not just excluding the men, ladies. I think you do a better job because most of your women are nurturers. But men, there's no excuses. There's no excuses for you. I have none for you. You need to be about helping others because you went through that storm. You understand. So you need to help them walk through those difficult days. It's a season. So if you hadn't heard anything else, please hear that. Please know how to do that. And it's not, well, God told me to pray for you today, and that was it. No, I really believe God tells you that's a season. I think he puts it on your mind and heart. Doesn't he put people in your minds? Doesn't he put them on your heart? And you go, huh, I wonder how he's doing today. You know, what do you think he put it on your heart for? Just to go, I think I hadn't heard it from him in a while. Pick up your phone because you do it so well and text them because you do that great and encourage them. Thinking about you today, praying for you. You have no idea. And another thing, the person to your left and right, you have no idea what their day may be like today. You have no clue. That's why that verse in the scripture says, be ye kind one to another, is so important in the lifestyle of Christians, the lifestyle of us as believers. Why wouldn't you be kind to people? You have no idea what your act of kindness does and will do for an individual. It's important. It has helped me walk through a storm. And it will continue to help me walk through those storms. But now that I'm through the storm, and now that I've received his peace, and have breathed his peace, it's sad to say that as the days continue to go, and a little bit further from that storm, my focus isn't as heavily on the Lord. My prayer life is not as intense. My time alone with God in the Word is not as intense. I don't know why that is. I'm just being honest with you to tell you it's a struggle. But for us to be alert and stand firm in the faith, and for us to take note of that. Because when you're in a storm and you're having a terrible day, that's all you think about is God. At least that's what I do. But you know, there on the good days, I want to be just like I am on my bad days, terrible days. I want to love God just like I did on the bad days. But God will bring you through those storms. He will bring you through. But what have you learned? What has he taught you? And what will he be continue to teach you through those days? I think the first thing is to know that Jesus doesn't keep us from having terrible days. But there is a difference having Jesus Christ in the midst of that terrible day. Now, I've said a lot. I'm really going to end on that. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus doesn't keep us from having terrible days. But there is a difference having Jesus Christ in the midst of a terrible day. You're having him for a reason. He wants to bring you through. He wants to show you his love. He wants to refine you. But take great comfort. He's interceding for you. He's not surprised by your day. He wants to refine you, and he wants to bring you peace. I'm just glad those storms don't come too often, because they sure are hard. But through God's grace, in the midst of them, I become who I need to be and who he wants me to be. Not who I, but who he wants me to become. So don't get comfortable where you're at. I don't wish any storms on you, but they are necessary in your life. I think you know that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know I've heard my brother say this many times, that we're to thank you in the good times in our life, but we're also to thank you in the ugly times in our life. And that sure sounds funny sometimes to me, but I understand it. That we are to thank you for every circumstances that we're in, because you have a plan for each one of our lives. And you have the bigger picture in mind. So thank you, Father, for bringing great comfort in our lives when we're walking through some terrible days, as you help us to get through those. Whatever it might be, Lord, you send people around us all the time, and yet we're to be kind to folks always, and we need to help walk with our brothers and sisters through difficulties. So help us to be more refined in that way. Help us to walk with each other during a difficult season of their lives. And I thank you for the ones that are already walking that way, Lord. But I pray that more hearts would be stirred to continue to walk that way. So thank you for these moments that we have together. Thank you, Father, how you come to teach us, to correct us, to love us. And we just give you all the thanks, Lord, and knowing that, Father, you know what's best for us in each of our lives, and you're going to come do that. Thank you for this church, and thank you for this worship time that we've had together. And Father, may we go out these doors today, not to have an uneventful day, but to have a great day, a day in which we can celebrate you, Lord, knowing that there will be storms that will come in our lives, that we'll be able to endure those through your grace and through your love and peace. So we thank you for all that you do for us and what you're going to continue to do. And we're grateful. And may the peace rest upon each one of us as we leave today, knowing that you will comfort us during our time and bring us great peace. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen.